Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma Lamed Ches. We're starting with the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Med Aleph of Eilu Lignai. And these are the people that we're going to mention, but we're not going to mention Lishvach, but we're going to mention Lignai. This is in contrast to the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah described how there were certain enhancements made in the Beis Hamikdash. What's the connection to Yuma? So it's the first enhancement that's mentioned in the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, so we talked about the lottery that was taken in order to determine which of the goats is going to be Lashem and which one's going to be Lazazel. And in the previous Mishnah, so we described how Ben Gamla took what was once upon a time wooden lottery tickets. It's, basically they're little placards. So they were made out of wood, boxwood, and what he did is he made them gold, and that was an enhancement. And the Mishnah and the previous Mishnah went over a number of enhancements that were made. Most probably all the enhancements that were described in the previous Mishnah was during Bayit Sheni. So that was all Lishvach. So our Mishnah over here is going to be mentioning a number of people that are Lignai. Families that are associated with the Beis HaMikdash that did not behave, did not have proper conduct. And all of them we're going to detail in just a moment. Okay, hopefully, right, it's the Mishnah, it's the Gemara, we're not going to be engaging in an exercise in Lashon Hara, as we're going to be describing people that we're not in favor of. And so I imagine over here that really what we're gaining over here, the lessons learned from these families, and we're not actually focusing on the families themselves. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle to explain how this is not engaging in Lashon Hara, but it's a Mishnah, the Gemara, and obviously, all right, we're going to follow their lead, and it's not, obviously, but to explain why it's not, so that I'm going to struggle a little bit with, but okay. With that stated, let's begin. The Eilu Gnai, this is going to be Gnai. Oh, just one other point before we start with the Mishnah, and that is that all this is going to sound extraordinarily familiar. It should sound familiar, as we went through most of this back in Shkalim. So what we get to do now is that we get to Chazar most of what we learned back in Shkalim in terms of the Gemaras over here. I noticed a couple of subtle differences between the Gemara here in Yuma versus the Gemara in Shkalim, but it's basically the Gemara in Shkalim. The Eilu Gnai, so these are the people that we're going to mention, but not favorably, most unfavorably. And that is Beis Garma, Lo Rasul Lamed, Amas Lechem upon him. So as far as the family of Beis Garma is concerned, so they had a way of making the Lechem upon him, baking the Lechem upon him. It was unmatched, and they wouldn't share that information with others. In terms of the compounding of the Ketores, so they did so in a manner which was also just unique and nobody could copy it, and they refused to give out their secrets to everybody. We're going to be more detailed as we go through the Gemara in terms of what exactly Beis Garma and Beis Aftinas did that was so unusual and why they had such a proprietary nature to their secrets. Hugras ben Levi haya yodea perik bishir v'lo ras la'amed. Additionally, the family of Hugras ben Levi happens to be a member of the Levim. So he had a way of delivering music, making music. Nobody else could copy what he did, and he refused to share family secrets with other. And finally, ben Kamser lo ras la'amed amaisek sav. Now, Ben Kamser had a way of writing, and he didn't want to share that as well. Al Rishom Nemar Zechet Zal Gavrachav Al Eilu Nemar Vishem Rishayim Yerkav. Now, as far as the previous Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin, yesterday's daf, so we say regarding all those people, Zechet Zal Gavracha, and making enhancements to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's fantastic, and for that we say that anytime we mention a tzaddik, we're going to pronounce the bracha. And meanwhile, all the people mentioned in our Mishnah is Shem Rishayim Yerkav. This is we mention them, but at the same time, the Rishayim, so therefore their name should be routed out. We're gonna actually give a better translation of the word in just a moment. Okay. So obviously there's much to go over here in the Mishnah. The Gemara is gonna flesh out most of what's being described in the Mishnah over here. There is an interesting Rashi in the Mishnah, which I'll just go over quickly right now. And that is, the Ben Kamsar. Ben Kamsar, who was proprietary about his ability to write. Now, what he was able to do is take four pens in one hand, basically held by four different fingers. Okay, again, how exactly he did that, I don't know. And he wrote. But Rashi said he didn't just write anything. Rashi writes on Maisik Sav. Look at Rashi in the Mishnah. Kosha Dalet Komosim Bedalet Sposav. holds four pens and four fingers, v'kosev shem ben arba osios ke'achad. And he's able to write Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem, obviously, the four-letter name of Shem Hashem. So he's able to write the four letters of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name with one hand, holding four different pens, writing the four different letters at the same time with the four different pens. And that was his gifted ability. Okay. What is so unusual about that?
What is so special about it?
Yeah, well, like, right. Why is it good? It's a fair question. No, that's not. His question is not, why is that impressive? It's impressive. His question is, what do we gain by doing that? What's the advantage? Okay. It's an excellent question. I don't have a good answer. Okay. Tanu Rabban, we start with the...
Is this the same concept from
Mark? I assume so. I assume so. With all these things, we're not really clear. I mentioned that yesterday when we talked about Ben Gamla, right? Ben Gamla was a Kohen during the second base of Mikdash. So should we censor him? Should we? Is he wonderful? So the answer is yes, like a combination of both. So he started the education system. We pointed this out yesterday. He started the education system. That's the Gemara in Baba Basra. In yesterday's daf, he's described as making real enhancements to the base of Mikdash. You know, and on the other hand, the Gemara back on Yud Ches was critical about him, and truth of the matter is all Kohan during the second base of Mikdash. So, hard to say, right? Is it possible that there's more than one Ben Gamla? It's certainly possible. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We start with the Gemara. Base garment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to flesh out all the details, right? The various families that we mentioned in our Mishnah, the intellectual property that they refuse to share, and their justification for not sharing it. So we start with Beis Karma. We're going to go follow the same order as the Mishnah. Beis Karma, you became a Maisa Lechem, a Panav L'Ratz L'Lamed. So the Bryce over here gives us a lot more detail about this family of Beis Karma. They knew secrets regarding the Lechem upon them. They would not want to share with other people. Shalchu Chacham and Vevi, Umne Malach Zanjer Shal Mitzrayim. The Beis Karma family, they went on strike. That's it. We're not working. In other words, they were very proprietary about their ability to bake the lechem upon him, and they refused to work. So what happened was is that we had to get other people to do so. We went to Egypt and we hired bakers from Alexandria. They were, huh? I don't know. Yeah, I know. I hear your question. Okay, it's fair to assume. I don't know. So they got the Egyptians. So as far as baking the lechem upon him, so it kind of looked the same. But then when it came to taking it off the oven wall, right back in the day, the breaking of the breads, basically they took the dough and they flushed it against the walls of the oven. And you had what's called Radias Apas. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about Radias Apas being a chachma. So, right, it required tremendous skill and great dexterity. And okay, and as far as Radias Apas is concerned, so that they weren't so good about. Now, obviously, by the way, the bread is only good after you take it off the oven wall. So it's a pretty critical part of the baking process, and they just weren't that good at it. Shehalu masikim mebechutz v'ofim mebechutz. So as far as the Alexandrium are concerned, so they would cook it from the outside, bake it from the outside, heat up the oven from the outside, and bake it on the outside. V'halalu masikim mebifnim v'ofim mebifnim. On the other hand, base garmu, so they heated the oven from the inside, and they baked it on the inside. Now again, I'm not in a position where I could really explain the difference between the two of them and why it is that the base garmu bread came out better, but it's clear, however, that base garmu was able to do this maneuver and it obviously create a better bread. Halalu pita misafeshes, halalu ain pita misafeshes. Now as far as the bread of the Alexandrian are concerned, so once they took it off the oven, so it basically caved in. Okay? Kind of like, when the cake collapses, right? So I've heard of such a thing. So so over here, and when the base garmu, however, when it came out of the oven, so it didn't collapse. So in other words, it took on a particular shape. Now, one thing over here that the Gemara assumes that we know is that the lechem upon him had a particular shape. In fact, it's called lechem upon him because of its shape, right? The bread faced you, right? Lechem upon him. So exactly what that shape is. So again, you have a picture in front of you, right? There are many, many good depictions, many good pictures of what the lechem upon him looked like. And the only way you're going to get it that way is only if you have this particular skill, not only about baking it, but about how to remove it from the oven wall. So this is Beis Garma, knew how to do it. And again, Alexandrium, who came awfully close, but when it came to the Ridiya Sapas, they couldn't match it. Kishisham Chachamim Badavar Amru, Kol Mashabar Kersh Baruch Lichvo Dobar Rosh Hashanah, Kol Anikra Bishmi, Ulichvo Di Barasiv. So the Chachamim said, look, everyone's got a particular skill, everyone's got a tremendous gift, and this family has a very particular skill. And V'chazur Beis Garma Lim Kamam. Now, as far as Beis Garma was concerned, they all went home, meaning they weren't working anymore. So Shachlam Chachamim V'lo Bao. So the Chachamim sent a message to Beis Garma. Would you please come back? And their response is, no. Okay, they were on strike. It's official. Kafu Lahem Skaram Uvao. So, how do you break a strike? Okay, can ask Reagan back in the 80s. Okay, you break a strike by offering more money. So they did. Not only did they offer more money, twice as much. So they didn't just get an increase in their salary, they got their salary doubled. Either they jump from 12 to 24, 24 to 48, various versions of how much the salary doubled, but it doubled. Whatever the starting salary was, it was double. So the Chachamim said to them, how come you refuse to share this information with others? Now, it is a curious question because it seems to be all about money, as they came back once the salary was doubled. So that part is a little bit strange. And their answer seems right. We will be confused by the end of this story in terms of whether or not they're being censored by the Chachamim or they're legitimate and their Kavana is the real right Kavana. Now, if you're confused by the end of the story, that's fine because we are getting confusing information. The Gemara in Shkalim, if you remember, the Gemara in Shkalim itself was confused in terms of whether these families should be fully censored or no, their heart was really in the right place. Now, being that they're listed in our Mishnah certainly makes it sound like that they were being censored by the Chachamim, but the Gemara in Shkalim, if you remember, the Gemara in Shkalim wasn't so convinced that that's the right way to read our Mishnah. Okay, so if you're confused by the end of all this, it's fair. It's fine. So the Gemara says, Marisim Shalal Amed. So how come you refuse to share your information? How come you're holding so tight to your intellectual property? So Amalem Yodim Hayu Shobei Saba Shobei Zeh Yasid Lecharev. We have a Masor. We know that this Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. Shema Yalamed Adam Sheina Mehugan. And what's going to happen now is that our trade secrets, our family secrets are going to be shared with others, if in fact we share them. People that are not appropriate and will not use it appropriately. And they're going to serve idolatry using our secrets, our family secrets. Now for this, they are mentioned l'shevach, they're mentioned for praise. Now, and on this, what does that mean on this? Meaning, again, right? It's a little bit confusing. In our Mishnah, they were clearly censored. And over here in the Braisa, they're being praised. But the way to read the Braisa, seemingly, is on one detail, so they're going to be praised. Notably, Me'olam Lanim says, Pasnakiyah B'yad B'nehem. As far as their children are concerned, you're never just going to see the children running around with good loaves of bread. And because, look, they're bakers, and not only bakers, but they're bakers for the Beis HaMikdash. And if their kids are running around with these really nice loaves of bread, so one could have made the argument, oh, they're skimming off the top, off the lechem upon him. And l'kayim ha'shenem rav yisim nikim ha'shem Yisrael. So this is a big topic over there in the Gemara in Shkalim, third paragraph, if I remember correctly, where you have to not only do the right thing, but you have to appear like you're doing the right thing, right? What we describe as marasayin. So if you're doing the right thing, but you're giving off an appearance that you're not doing the right thing, so that's not good and that's not appropriate. And so over here, even if the bread had nothing to do with the lechem upon him, but if they saw the family members going around with bread, and people are saying, hey, that's from the lechem upon him, so that's a violation of Yisim Nikim Yashem Yisrael. And so therefore, in that regard, they deserve praise. Now, in terms of their general demeanor of holding on to the family secrets, so again, it sounds like from our Braisa, the Chachamim weren't happy with them, and they only came back after their salaries were doubled. And so again, their excuse, however, seems to be that they were L'shem Shemayim. So does that mean now that they're good, they're not good? Should they be complimented, condemned? Good. So if it's confusing, like I said, it is confusing. Okay, and that's just family number one. We got four families to go through. So we got now our second family that we're about to be introduced to. Shall Beis Aftinus L'Rav Sulamit Al Ma'aseh Ketores Tanu Rabbanan. Beis Aftinus Hayu Bekim B'Ma'aseh Ketores. So now we're up to the Aftinus family, and they had some special talent as it related to the Ketores. V'L'Rav Sulamit, and they refused to teach it. In a moment, we're going to see exactly what their unique skill was. And again, if you remember your Gemara in Shkalim, you already know what their unusual skill is. But the Gemara is about to tell us in just a moment. Shalchu Chachamim, and over here, the story is going to sound almost nearly parallel to the story of Beis Garmu. Shalchu Chachamim ve'evi umnim elach zanjur shal mitzvayim v'ayu yodnim lefatim kamosam. So once again, we got families from Egypt, and they knew how to compound almost as good as the Beis Aftinus, but almost. However, there is an herb, a grass. It's called Mala Ashan. So they didn't know. They didn't know how to Mala Ashan, right? I just turned it into a verb. They didn't know how to Mala Ashan as well as the Beis Aftinus. Shall halalu mitamer va'ola kamaka shall halalu maftia lekan ulekan. So when the Beis Aftinus made, well, let's start with the Alexandria. No, let's start with the Beis Aftinus. When the Beis Aftinus made their compound Ketores, so what happened was that when it was burnt, when it was placed on top of the coal, so there was a smoke, and the smoke went straight up. Created a column of smoke that went straight up. And now, if you take that and you move it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, which is what we do annually on Yom Kippur, so now what's going to happen is that column of smoke is going to go straight up, hit the roof, and basically come down on the walls, right? It's a real powerful imagery. And that's what happens when you burn the Ketores of Beis Aftinus. However, when you took the Alexandrium and you took their Ketores and you burnt it, so smoke basically went all over the place, right? It's what would happen if you and I were trying to make it. Okay, so this Beis Aftinus, that is tremendous skill. And here we go with the same back and forth. And again, the Chachamim acknowledged they have a special skill. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazu Beis Aftinus, some Komam. And once again, Beis Aftinus, they went home. So once again, the Chachamim sent them a letter. Come back. And they said no. And again, the same numbers that we described the Beis Garmu, where they got their salary doubled, either from 12 to 24 or from 24 to 48. Either way, and they say, how come you refuse to share this information? Right? In other words, you clearly know you have some sort of secret that you're withholding. So, Amr Yodim, Hayu, Shal Beis Abba, Shal Beis Ze Asid Lecharev. And once again, their response over here, very similar to the Beis Garmu, identical to the Beis Garmu. We know this Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And now they're going to take our secrets about how to make the column of smoke, and they're going to use it for Avodah Zarah. It's just simply not appropriate. Okay. And again, is their answer accepted, not accepted? Right? It's ambiguous. Okay. However, there is one detail in which they're going to be praised, and that's the following. So whenever they have a new bride, so they're not going to go out with a good smelling perfume. She's not going to be wearing perfume. And again, this is a question of Marasayan, meaning even if the perfume has nothing to do with the Ketores, but this is the family of Ketores, and if the bride went out with perfume, so people will talk. They wanted to avoid that, meaning they were extraordinarily careful about Marasayan. And when an outsider marries into the family, so they explain to her, look, great family, happens to be that we just got a great raise, great family, but you know that in this family we don't wear perfume, so you just understand, you're marrying into this family, it's our family minuk, right? You understand. Good. And again, it's all a function of Marasayan. They wanted to make sure that they had no appearance whatsoever of impropriety. Good. That is, that takes us through the Beis Aftinus. But over here, we're not done. A couple of additional brises that the Gemara is going to bring down. Tanya Amar Rav Yishmael Pamachas, Hayisim Ahalach Baderuch Matzasi Echem Mimnei Benehem. So Rabbi Yishmael says, look, I encountered one of the family members. And Amarti lo avasecha bikshu laharbas kvodam v'ratzu lamad kvod amakom. And over here, we get a really clear feeling of how Rabbi Yishmael feels about it. Meaning in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, so there is a little bit of ambiguity, and they really feel that they are gonna, they really feel justified in what they're doing is right. But over here in this Braisa, so we're getting Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael is clear about how critical he is about the family. Your family, Bikshul Arbas Kvodam. They wanted to increase their honor, and Ratzul Amad Kvodam Makom. And they wanted to minimize the comfort of this place. Achshav Kvod Makom Bimkomo. Now, as far as the covenant of Makom is concerned, so that goes unchanged, meaning despite the fact that there's Chorban Beis HaMikdash, but still, this is the Makom Beis HaMikdash, and that doesn't change. Umiya Kvodam. And as far as the family is concerned, now where's the family now? Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no Ketores. And where's the covenant of the family? Okay, so clearly over here, Rabbi Yishmael is reprimanding. I'm Rabbi Akiva, Pamachas, or we could take it out, Sachli, Rabbi Yishmael ben Luga, Pamachas Yatzasi, Ani, Vecham Mimnei B'neim B'sa'adel L'akir Asavim. So Rabbi Akiva says that there was an occasion, well, Rabbi Akiva was told over the story, where there was an occasion that a member of the family and I went out, and we were out in the field, and we were picking certain herbs. Ve'ra'isi, and I saw, I'll go with the corrected girsa, Shebacha v'shachak, he cried, he laughed, Amarti lo mimnei ma bachisa. So there was a lot of emotion in this descendant of the family, the base of Tinos. So he's trying to uncover why all the emotion, So first of all, why did you cry? So Amali kvod avusai niskarti. So he says, I cried because I remember the Beis Avtinas family once upon a time was a really big deal. And now we're not. And okay, that's sad. And umimei masachakta, and why are you laughing? So Amali shasita kashbaruch lachzir lanu. So he says, because I know that's going to come back. Okay. Hopeful thinking. Correct. So he says, and I know we're going to come back. We're going to make an unbelievable comeback. Okay, great. Is there anything that triggered all this emotion? And he says, yeah. Amali mala ashan kenegdi. He says, yeah, because I'm looking right now at the mala ashan herb. Now there happens to be a lot of herbs around them. In other words, they're in the field, and there's a lot of herbs around them. And so it's not clear exactly which one he's referring to, but one of the blades of grass, one of the herbs in front of them, is Mala Ashan. So Harauli. So he says, oh, new? That's interesting. Could you show me which one? And you know where this is going to go. So Amrli Shvuhi Biadinu She'in Marin Oso L'chol Adam. And he says, no, what do you mean? It's a family secret. We made a Shvua, right? Every member of the Beis Avtinas family has sworn that this is information that stays with the family. It's intellectual property. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, and we just continue. Meaning, the Gemara over here spends a lot of time with Beis Avtinas, the most amount of time with Beis Avtinas over all these other families. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Pamachas Matzasi Zaken Echad Umigils Samaman Biyado. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that I found an elder member of the family, and he's holding basically the recipe book. Right, he's got the family secrets tucked away in his hands. Amarti lo me'ayin ata. So he says, "Nu, where are you from?" So Amarli mi Beis Avtinas ani, umabi adacha Amarli migil samamanim. So right, simple Q and A. Who are you, Beis Avtinas? What do you have in your hand? The recipe book. Hareoli. So he says, "Nu, can I see it?" So Amarli calls Mansha Beis Abba hayukayamim lo hayu mosim mosalachol adam. While my family was alive, so we wouldn't hand it over to anybody. But Achshav hareu lecha. But this one says to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, "I'm ready to give it to you." V'hiz arba. And just be careful, meaning obviously this means a lot to me, and so I'm going to give it to you, but just be very careful. And now I told over the whole story in front of to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, that's it. We no longer could speak disparagingly about this family. This family now, clearly they were L'shem Shemayim. Mikan Amar Ben Azai. Now Ben Azai makes the following comment based on what we all just learned together, and that is b'shemecha yikarucha uvim kamcha yoshivucha. They're going to call you by your name, and they're going to seat you in your right place. I'll explain what this means in just a moment as we turn to the Amud Beis. Umishalcha yitnu lecha, and you know what you get? You get what's yours. Ein adam nogeb muchan lechavero, vein malchus nogeb bechaverta afilu kamalei nima. Basically, do you know what job you're going to have? The job that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, right? It's the same thing like malchus. The Gemara by malchus says this a number of times. You can see on the side of the Gemara, bracha, Shabbos, moikat, and tanis, right? It's a famous comment of the Gemara. The Gemara says it pretty often. And that is that when it comes to malchus, when it comes to monarchy, so do you know when there's going to be a change of the king? Exactly. Not a moment earlier, not a moment later, but exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems it to be appropriate time to change. Right? Remember the long conversation that the women had with Shaul HaMelech? Right? Shaul HaMelech asked them a question and the women are giving an answer and a really long-winded answer. And the Gemara wanted to know, why did the women give such a long answer? And the Gemara has, if I remember correctly, three different answers. But one of the answers of the Gemara is that it just wasn't time yet. Meaning there were a couple of seconds remaining before Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to change the guard, to change the Melucha. Good. So and that's not just true by the Malchus. It's true by anybody's job. Meaning you have a particular job. Oh, it's because of my great skill. Oh, it's because of my secrets that I know. The answer is no, no, and no to all the above. It's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you in that particular job. And so therefore, when you have a job, do not feel so proprietary about your job, nor about the intellectual property of that job, right? Obviously, you still need a lot of common sense, right? But nevertheless, though, do not feel like, oh, if I do this, if I do that, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to keep my job. In other words, do a good job. But after that, it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so he'll make the decisions in terms of who's working at what point in time and what job and that's it. And that's the proper attitude to be had. Okay. So again, if you are now confused in terms of the Chachamim's feelings towards the base of Tina's family, it's wonderful. They knew what was in it. In other words, there was a Mala Ashan that worked really well, and there was a Mala Ashan that did not work really well. The Alexandrium also had Mala Ashan. It just didn't work as well. Now, why? I totally understand, but they both of them used the right ingredients. In other words, with the Torah is extraordinarily clear about what are the correct ingredients. But even within the ingredients, there obviously was some room for variability in order to produce good results and better results. I love it. Yeah, right. It is a modern sense of. Yeah, it's a modern sensibility that we have. It's a good sensibility that we need supervision. Apparently, these families were trusted. You know, and I say trusted, by the way, and at the very same time, you know, these families were striking and these families, you know, demanded double pay. And okay, the Gemara in Shkalim also was pleasantly confused in terms of whether we are, whether they're doing it for the right reason, the wrong reason. And Rabbi Kiva, and mind you, by the way, Rabbi Kiva years later, meaning the base of Tina's family was living during Bais Sheni. And Rabbi Kiva now, you know, with history on his side and retrospect on his side, so even Rabbi Kiva came to a conclusion years later that, you know what? No more. We're not going to speak disparagingly anymore. Okay. And it doesn't change the fact that there's still a Mishnah out there, you know, that censors them. Okay. We continue. We are on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Hugros Ben Levi. Okay. The Gemara is going to spend, it's so funny, after spending all this time with Beis Aftinas and also a good amount of time with Beis Garmu. So the last of the families we don't spend a lot of time with. So, Tanya, right. Hugros Ben Levi, Vachule. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa Kishu, no saying, Kolo ben ima machnis golo l'soch piv. So this Hogras, who is able to produce sound, produce music, so he sticks his thumb in his mouth, meniach etzbo ben hanimin, and his fingers are on his mustache. Ad shayu echav ha-kohanim nizrakim evasrosh la-chareim. All the other kohanim jumped back, meaning that he produced such a sound that it was unmatched, it was unparalleled. Okay. And what was his secrets? Again, intellectual property, refused to share it. Tanu Rabban ben Kamsar. And now we're finally up to the family of Ben Kapsel, Lorat Salamid, Amaisek Sav. So again, his ability to write, taking four pens in his hands and writing four letters at the same time. So Ben Kapsel, Lorat Salamid, Amaisek Sav. Amru Alav Shayanoto Dal Kumusim Benetz Bosav, Vim Haisa Teva Shal Dal Osio Sayakosva, Bevas achas, for a word that's four letters. You know, it's interesting, by the way. I shared with you the Rashi back in the Mishnah. So Rashi says we're talking about Shem Hashem. The Gemara does not clear about that, meaning the Gemara just says a word with four letters. But, you know, it was clear to Rashi, however, that we're talking about Shem Hashem. So Amar lo marisa shalom et kulam amatsu tshuva ledevarim ben kamsar lo matsu tshuva ledvarav. Now, why wasn't Ben Kamsar ready to share this intellectual property? So the Gemara notes that all the other families had an excuse. Again, sincere, legitimate, unclear. But Ben Kamsar, they didn't even have an excuse. Meaning, they just simply refused to share these kinds of family secrets with others. Al Rishon Neamar Zecher Tzadok Levrecha, Al Ben Kamsar V'Chaveirav Neamar V'Shem V'Sham Yerkav. Now, on the first families. Now, the first family means what? Well, certainly it means the previous Mishnah. Meaning, go back to yesterday's daf, go back to the Mishnah, and yesterday's daf, Ben Gamla, Ben Kittin, all those families. So those are Zecher Tzadok Levrecha. Now, as far as these last families are concerned, now, who is that making reference to? Well, clearly Ben Kamsar is being censored. That's clear. What about the other families in our Mishnah? All right, the Gemara and Shkalim was totally unclear in terms of whether they're also included as well. Even in this braisa that we're reading right now, Al Ben Kamsar V'Chaveirav, Ben Kamsar and his friends. So does that mean all the other people mentioned in our Mishnah? Maybe. Again, ambiguity. So my V'Shem V'Shem Yerkav, so the Gemara says, okay, so we are going to spend a little bit of time with the expressions of Zecher Tzadok Levracha and Shem Rishayim Yerkav. Now, when I say expression, they're Pesukim and Mishlei. So what exactly is meant? So what is meant when we say Shem Rishayim Yerkav? So Amar Rav Elazar, Rak Vivus Ta'aleh Bishmosam, Velo Maskinan Bishmayahu. So we mean, first of all, the following. Yerkav means basically rotted. The name should have rot and rust going over them. Kind of like, it's an analogy. It's kind of like when you have metal and it's unused, so basically what's going to happen is rust going to grow on it. So over here, these names should rust, meaning nobody should use these names. In fact, that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, nobody should take these names and name their children with these names. So when you have a Rasha, so basically don't use a name for for the children. Mesav Ravina, Mesav Adog Ben Yosef. So there was an incident with Dog Ben Yosef. So the Gemara over here is going to just cite an example of somebody who named his child a name that probably he should not name to his child. Now, Doeg, as you know, was not a particular good personality in Tanakh. The Doeg Adomi, involved in various acts of murder, right, was a general to David HaMelech, and meanwhile, right, just simply not a good personality. And there's a later person in history who, for whatever reason, his parents named him Doeg. Okay, I don't know why, but they did. And the Gemara tells us a story. Ma'aseh b'Doeg b'Yosef she'enichu aviv ben katan l'imo bechol yom ha'isa imo mordaso b'tafchim v'nosim mishkalo shel zav le'beis hamikdash. So and every day what his mother would do was mother would measure him. And based on measure, it sounds like in weight, and based on however much he weighed, so she would donate his amount to the Beis Hamikdash. U'kishegaver oyev tavchaso and rachmanis. And now, when the Romans came in and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, so she shechted her own son va'achalto, and she ate the flesh of her own son va'alah konin yirmiyo. And unfortunately, we're going to see this in Eicha, meaning Eicha, Yirmiyahu and Miguel's Eicha prophesized over such an event. The pasuk says, "Im tochlenu nashim per yam, olei tfachim." So it's a pasuk in Eicha. So Meshiva Ruach Hakosh Valmeres. Now the Ruach Kosh came out and said, "Im yareg ben mikdash Hashem kohen venavi," and people were murdered in the base of mikdash. Kohen venavi were murdered. So Chazim Masalik Bay. And the Gemara gives a lot of attribution to the kind of tragedy that we're describing, unspeakable tragedy that we're describing. The Gemara assigns a certain amount of attribution to the fact that they named him that name. Okay? Amar Rav Elazar. Gemara for the remainder of today's daf. So we're going to go over a number of teachings of Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan. Obviously, some of them connected to what we just learned, and then from there, the Gemara just kind of jumps around from topic to topic, but the connective tissue over here is that statements by Rav Elazar and ultimately statements by Rav Yochanan. So we're going to start off with a number of statements of Rav Elazar. Now, it happens to be, if you've been following, that we already had one statement of Rav Elazar. That was, what is meant by Shem Rishayim Yerkav? Amar Rav Elazar Tzadik Me'atzmo V'Rasha Me'chaveiro. So a Tzadik Me'atzmo. Righteousness really is gained independently, meaning it's something you earn. But when it comes to Rishos, so sometimes just by hanging out with the wrong people, it's an old expression. It's a correct expression, right? He's in with the bad crowd, and you get affected. So v'rasha mechaver tzadik me'atzmo d'chsiv zecher tzadik levracha. Now, as far as seeing it, we can see in the pasuk in Mishlei, because in the pasuk in Mishlei it says zecher tzadik levracha in the singular. And meanwhile, when it comes to the rasha, v'rasha mechaver d'chsiv v'shem rishaim. Your covet says in the plural. Amar le Ravina lahume rabbana dava mesadik ata kamei. So Ravina says to one of the chachamim who was making collections of divrei agadata, and menahem ilsa dama rabbana zechot tzadik levracha. You know this phrase, this expression of zechot tzadik levracha. Where did the chachamim get it from? Now that's an outrageous question. Meaning it's a pasuk in Mishlei. Amar le dahaksiv zechot tzadik levracha. So the answer is you open up a book and you open up Sefer Mishlei. And you'll see, say Zecher Tzadik Levracha. What do you mean? Where did you get it from? So the Gemara says, okay, clarification. Midah Araisa Menalan. Fine. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Is there any reference to it in Chumash? So he says, yeah, as a matter of fact, there is. Dechsiv Hashem Amar, Mechasanim, Avraham, Asher Ani Yosef, Vixiv, Avraham, Ayo Yeh, Lugoy Gadol, Ve'atzum. So by Akash Baruch Hu's destruction of stone, so he says, look, I can't withhold the information from Avraham. Oh, by the way, Avraham, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Meaning, as long as I mention Avraham's name, so I just want to tell you, I just want to tell everybody that he's going to be a great nation, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so you see this idea expressed in Chumash. Menahem Ilsa Damar Rabbanan Shem Rishayim Yerkav. We're going to do the same thing for the second half of the Pasuk in Mishlei. Where's the source of Shem Rishayim Yerkav? So Amalei Da'aksiv, V'Shem Rishayim Yerkav. What do you mean, where's the source? Again, open up a Sefer Mishlei. It's right there. So no, midaraisa manalan. This idea, can I find it being articulated in Chumash? To which the answer is, yeah, I can. So dechsiv vayal atzadom v'ksiv anshei stom ra'im v'chatiim la'shem ha'od. As far as where Lot set up his tent, so atzadom, so basically encamped in stom. Oh, by the way, stom, they're the worst. Anshei stom ra'im v'chatiim la'shem. So you see, shem rishayim yerkav. So you mention the name of Arasha. And let's just make sure that we articulate and pronounce exactly how bad they are. Okay? Another teaching of Rav Elazar. Amar Rav Elazar Tzadik, Dar Ben Shnei Rishayim V'lo Laman Mima'aseihem. As far as the Tzadik is concerned, someone who's obtained the level of Tzidkus. So a Tzadik can be sheltered with his Tzidkus from Rishayim. Opposite's not true. Rasha Dar Ben Shnei Tzadikim V'lo Laman Mima'aseihem. A Rasha can be living amongst tzaddikim, and he's not going to be positively influenced. Tzaddik dar ben shnei rishayim, v'olaman mimaseim ovadja. And I'll just give you a good example of a tzaddik living amongst rishayim and not going to be influenced, affected by it, and that is ovadja. Ovadja lived, says Rashi, between Achav Izevel, right, the king and queen of the northern kingdom, and meanwhile, ovadja is a tzaddik. And was not influenced or affected by Achav and Izevel. Rasha dar ben shnei tzadik v'lalama me'maseim ze Esav. And a perfect case study of a Rasha living amongst tzadikim is that's Esav. Esav lived together with Yitzchak, with Rivka, with Yaakov. And meanwhile, Esav was Esav. Amar Rav Elazar, another member of Rav Elazar. Mibirchosam shal tzadik atalayim miklala rishayim. Umiklalasam shal rishayim atalayim miklala tzadikim. So you could learn out lessons from a bracha to a tzaddik and a klala to a rasha. Examples. Mi brichasam shal tzaddikim atalamad klala l'rishayim dechsiv ki adativ l'man asher yitzaveh uksiv basrei v'yom Hashem zakatz dom v'amor ki rabba. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I know Avram and I know how good he is. And oh, by the way, Sodom, like I'm hearing the cries coming out of Sodom. So he's giving a bracha to Avram. And at the same time now, it reminds them of the contrast of Sodom. Similarly, umikalasam shavasham atalamed brachlat tzadikim dichsiv anshe sedom ra'im v'chatim l'Hashem v'amar Hashem al Avraham acharei pari lo mimo. So he's mentioning the negative influences of Sodom, and oh, by the way, I have Avraham. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Elazar, afilu b'shvil tzadik echad olam nivra. The world is created just for one tzadik. Shenemar v'ayar lokim esaor ki tov ve'in tov el tzadik. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sees a light. Light over here is a reference to a tzadik. Shenemar imu tzadik ki tov. Amar Rav Elazar kol hamishakech davar mitamudo gorim galus levanav. You forget one thing that you learn, so it's going to cause your children to go into exile. Shenemar v'tishkach tors elokecha eshkach manecha gamani. You forget your Torah, I'm going to forget your children. Rabbi Abau Amar Morin Oso Migdulaso. Somebody forgets his learning, so he's going to be demoted. Shenemar ki ata hadas ma'asa ve'iv em asecha mechahin li. If you forget, so I'm going to be mois. I'm going to reject you. I'm going to refuse you. Okay. Any Gemara that talks about forgetting learning always is scary. It's always right. Humans are meant to forget. It doesn't mean being human. It means, you know, it means neglect. It means that you are just sheer neglect of the Torah that you learn. That's the right. I don't have a good source for what I'm saying, but it does not mean the human act of forgetting. That is something that we all do. I'm Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ain tzadik nifter min ha'olam ad shenivra tzadik hamoso. Tzadikim, before he leaves the world, he's going to be replaced with another tzadik. Shenemer v'zerach ha'shemesh uva ha'shemesh. Ash lo kafta. Shimsho shel Eli. Zerach ha'shimsho shel Shmuel ha'ramasi. So before we lose Eli, we get Shmuel. And that's obviously just but an example. And the idea is that this is how the world works. We're always going to have a tzadik in this world. So where's the tzadik? So, and right in this world that we live in, they're hidden. Amr Bichia Bar Abba Amr Rav Yochanan. Okay, so what we did seamlessly is that we went from a number of statements of Rav Elazar, four if I'm counting correctly, and now we're going to statements of Rav Bichia Bar Abba in the name of Rav Yochanan. We already cited one, and now this is going to be our second. Amr Bichia Bar Abba Amr Rav Yochanan Rakash Baruchu Shet Sadikim Muatim. So as far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we saw that Tzaddikim come at a premium. There are not a lot of tzaddikim out there. So Amar v'shasim b'chol dor v'dor. So what Akash Baruch Hu did is he distributed them amongst the generations. Basically, he spaced them out. So we're not going to, we're not going to have a concentration of tzaddikim in one period of time, and only to not have any tzaddikim in another period of time. Shenem rakila Hashem mitzuke arutz v'yashos aleim tevel. So the Akash Baruch Hu, as far as the pillars of the earth, meaning tzaddikim. So he spaces them out. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu b'shvil tzadik echad, olam is kayem. World can sustain based on one tzadik. Shenemar, v'tzadik yasod olam, the foundation of the earth. Rabbi Chiya didei amar me'acha ragle chasidav yishmor, chasidav tuva mashma. That the legs of the chasidim, so they are going to be shomer, they're going to protect. Now, over here, the pasuk that he's citing is not proving our point, because we're saying that one tzaddik can hold up the world, and meanwhile, the pasuk is ragle chasidav yishmor. And that's why the Gemara is bothered. The Gemara says chasidav tuva mashma. Well, that's many tzaddikim. So, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak chasido ksiv. Yeah, but look at how it's written without the yud, even though we do pronounce it chasidav, but it's written without the yud, it could be understood in the singular. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan Kevin Shiyatza Rov Shnosef Shal Adam, V'lo Chata Shuv Eino Chote. A person has gone through the majority of his life not sinning, so at that point in time, he has now made good habits for himself. And he can have certain assurances that he is not going to sin. Shenemar Ragle Chasidav Yishmor. Debei Rabbi Shimal Amar Kevin Shabal Liado Davar Avera Pam Rishon V'shnia V'eino Chote Shuv Eino Chote. A person has a chait coming at him once, twice, and is able to withstand. So therefore, he's basically now built up an immunity to that particular avera, and he's going to be able to stand strong. Shenemar ragle chasidav yishmor. Amar Reish Lakish ma'idichsiv amleitzim hu yalitzu la'anavim yitinchein. So the pasuk in Mishle, that if a person wants to act foolishly, so he will act foolishly, and if a person wants to act within humility, so that's good. And what's pshat in that pasuk? So Reish Lakish says a pshat in that pasuk. Bala tame, postkin lo. A person wants to become tame, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the allowance to do so. Otherwise, what we describe as Bechira Chavshi. So, Balatar Misayin Oso. And a person wants to become a Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will assist him. And over here, by the way, the contrast between the bad and the good. Meaning, if a person wants to do bad, Kadosh Baruch Hu allows it to happen. Person wants to do good, Kadosh Baruch Hu will assist him in being good. So in other words, yes, it's Bechir Chavshi, but with the best of intentions, with the right of intentions, so he actually will be helped in successfully battling his Yetzirah. On the other hand, if he wants to give into his Yetzirah, Kadosh Baruch Hu won't stop him from doing so. But in other words, but there you don't get the push in that direction. He says, I'll give you an example. Somebody who sells nafta afarsamon. Naft is some really foul smelling gas, and afarsamon, something that smells really good. So ba limdod neft amarlo medod atalat mecha. So when you are measuring out the gas, so the buyer says, I'll tell you what, you measure it. And then I'll come along and I'll buy it. But I don't want my hands to get dirty or smelly. However, Balimdo to Far Simon, we're on the top of Lamites. Somebody who's selling a Far Simon, Omer Laham Tainli, Hashem Doni Mach, Kedesh Nisbasem Ani Vata. The perfume, let me help you. And that way, in measuring it, so I'm going to get some of it on my hands and I'm going to smell good. Good. And that's the mashal where a person wants to sin, Akash Baruch allows him to do so. A person wants to do good. Obviously, that's the direction that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the person to go. Kadosh Baruch Hu will be of assistance. Tanda be Rav Yishmael Avera mitamtemes libo shel Adam. And Avera, what does it do? So it clogs. So over here, right? I have cardiologists here in the room. So we're now talking about the spiritual clogging of our neshama. If in fact the person violates Avera, shenemar v'lo titamu b'hem nitmesem bam. Altikra vinit mesem ela unit tam tame. That by, and if you look contextually, by the way, this is a psukim in Parsha Shmini, and this is specifically talking about kashrus. It doesn't have to be limited to kashrus, but certainly in the context, it's talking about kashrus, meaning that if you eat treif, so it's going to clog up your spiritual pores. To Tana Rabbanan, and as long as we quoted the Gemara over here, v'lo titamu behem unitmesem bam, adam mitame atzmo ma'at mitame moso harbe. So you're mitame yourself a little bit, so it's only going to grow and metastasize. Milamata mitame moso milamala. You're mitame yourself down here, and it's going to have spiritual ramifications up above, right? The Derech Hashem, right? With the help of Rabbi Shabtai, so I'm making my way through Derech Hashem. Talks about how everything in this world has a spiritual counterpart up above. The Gemara over here speaks very clearly in these terms about the spiritual effects of that which is happening above, which is basically parallel to that which goes on down here. But olam hazeh mitamo sol olam haba, and also the parallel between this world and the world to come. Tanu rabbanan v'yiskadeshim v'yisim kedoshim adam mekadosh atzmo ma'at mekadoshin oso harbe. A person is mekadosh himself a little bit, that too grows. In other words, again, it's an equal playing field. Much like Tuma grows, Kedusha also grows as well. Milamata mekadoshin oso milamala, b'olam hazeh mekadoshin oso l'olam haba. With again, the similar parallel forces up above, similar parallel forces, positive forces in olam haba. Okay. Obviously, I have extraordinarily limited understanding of all this. But understand, though, that every action that we do has effects, not just in this world, but has far-reaching effects. That's certainly a simple pshat. Hadron lach, armalam amamuna. That is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. Good. Let's quickly recap. It's a pretty straightforward daf to summarize. On the Amud Aleph, we started with the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned four families. All four families seems to be censored in the Mishnah. And basically, all of them are guilty of the same crime, and that is holding their intellectual property and not sharing it, even though it's a kind of intellectual property where it's for the Beis HaMikdash, should be disseminated, and is not. These families elect not to give over this information. And in the Gemara, in today's daf, for most of today's daf, so we spent time with these families, the Beis Karmu family, having a special way of baking the lechem upon him, where when they take it off the oven, It retains its shape. They refused to share how they did that. The Beis Aftina's family, when compounding the Ketores, compounded in a way in which when you put it on the coals, the column of smoke went straight up as opposed to just going all over the place. The Hogros family are able to sing and the in ways that no one else was. And the Ben Kamtsu family, that is able to write Shem Hashem, four letters, one hand, four pens, all at the same time, and again, elected not to share that information. Yes, it's not clear. The first three families all gave what seems to be legitimate explanations of why they didn't share that information. Do the Chachamim accept their explanation? So we left off with ambiguity. It's not clear. And then, I'll just rattle off an assortment of topics that we covered, because basically from the Amud Beis, about halfway down for the remainder of the daf, so an assortment of ideas that we just rattled off. And just as a quick review, we talked about the power of a name. We talked about the definition of Zecher Tzadik Levracha and Shem Rishayim Yirkav. We spoke about the power of a tzaddik. The tzaddik supports the entire world. Tzaddikim are spaced out over the generations. We talked about forgetting one's learning. We spoke about developing an immunity towards certain chataim. And then we spoke about how we have Bechira Chavshi, and we can basically choose in either direction, both for good and for bad. Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do bad, and for good, Kadosh Baruch Hu assists us if in fact we want to do good.